This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. Let all beings be happy, one man deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as the mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free of hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So starting with the Metta Sutta is obviously something that is to aspire to, not easily done, even in the meditation itself. In the day-to-day life it's obviously impossible. Nobody sees the other person as important as oneself. Maybe your children or what, if you're lucky for a moment, when you don't hate them the other moment. And but these radiating kindness over the entire world is obviously something that we can do in the meditation, bringing the mind into a state where it's in a better place and in a more wholesome place. That we a more wholesome place than we can achieve in our day-to-day life with other people. Actually, there's a I guess living as human beings in a world with happiness and suffering and a body with challenges, with hunger and cold. We have to decide even sometimes how kind and open we want to be with other people. At least in my experience, some people have to also be told where the boundaries should be. So it doesn't mean that you let other people take advantage of you. Huh? In Buddhism, you are always the one who is looking after your own mind. So if you are unhappy with what is going on, then it's not something that, oh yeah, my meditation is not deep enough, or I'm not holy enough yet. It's basically this is the place where I have to look after my mind. This is the place where I might have to say stop. I don't want to go any further than that. And sure, we don't want to be violent or whatnot, but sometimes we have to hiss, even. Huh? Acharya's simile with the snake, and all the people got scared of that snake. But the snake was unhappy, so somebody told the snake that from now on it should be super kind and shouldn't do anything naughty anymore. So more and more the people came to know that the snake wasn't dangerous anymore, and so the kids came and they threw stones at the snake and they messed around with the snake, and the snake was bleeding and unhappy. And so it went to that teacher again and told the snake, you should be kind to people and you should be non-threatening. And the snake said, here, look what happened. Now I'm bleeding, I'm unhappy, basically everybody is trampling right over me. And I said, you shouldn't bite people, you shouldn't inflict suffering. But I didn't tell you that you couldn't hiss. So sometimes we have to hiss a little bit. I just tell it because it's an aspiration when we chant that stuff, and some of you might think it's just blah 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 anyway or whatnot, but this is usually an instruction in the Buddhist teaching. There's no ritual and no it's sure there are rituals in Buddhism, but the suttas are not meant as a ritual. No? The teaching of the Buddha is not meant as a ritual. So it's not invented usually by some priest class or whatnot. There's when we chant this thing, there's a reminder, an aspiration of where we're aiming at actually in our meditation as well. And to have that sort of mind set where you can really radiate kindness over the entire world, even people who meditated for a long time will know that it is a very, very difficult thing to achieve, even if you sit in your comfortable room and nobody is bothering you. So it's an aspiration somewhere there, and then we obviously have to be careful how we going about it to achieve that aspiration. First of all, is it even our aspiration? Is it not better that the bad guys are going to be punished, actually? They maybe deserve to be punished. Does everybody really deserve kindness? Only because the Buddha said so or whatnot? Do we really feel that? Do we really think everybody deserves kindness? Maybe sometimes when we are at our best, actually, sort of, and there's just the feeling there that might be true. But often when we are in our normal mind state, it's sort of, no, not that guy. So we have to check out first, actually, how far do we really want to go in that direction as well? No? Do we really agree with that stuff that is said there? So, and the Buddha didn't try to make this world the perfect place, like the Shangri-La. And he basically said the same thing as Jesus. There will always be suffering here. People pathetically struggling. So this is the world of the duality of the happiness and suffering. Having a body, having a mind, having desire is the place where suffering is. then we can have a look actually what is a possibility of going beyond that suffering. And then a path of conflict and of hatred, of anger. After you meditated a bit, you see it's a very unpleasant mind state. So when I aspire having the mind that tries to be kind with everybody, at least in my meditation, I don't do that for anybody of you. It's basically always for me. I'm always number one. All you guys come second, third, fourth, fifth, hundreds or thousands, actually, I don't know, depending on how well I know people. And I don't have any illusion about that. There is no unselfish act that doesn't exist. It's just something that people made up. I can never see any other perspective than from myself, any of you, anything else. So the Buddha advises us to look after that mind in a way that we eradicate suffering in our own mind first. Not trying to better the world, just I'm not trying to be kind then, because I want to be a good Buddhist, and that sounds so incredibly inspiring and happy and peppy actually, and so wouldn't it be nice? It's just like when I'm clear enough, I see this path of thinking leads to more suffering in my own mind. That's when I can stop being angry or being aggressive or being critical. And I hope you start with that in your meditation, all you newcomers as well. You just see when the attitude in your mind is going in a direction, you don't treat yourself nicely. You don't have thoughts that are conducive to your own peacefulness. If you see that your mind gets more stirred up by what you're doing there, bring up that kindness actually in sort of, I'm not meditating here. I'm just following an old pattern of criticizing. And then hopefully you kindly remind yourself, this is a way to more suffering. I'm getting stirred up. So we're gonna do some meditation, and I'm gonna give some more instructions on the way of trying to get the mind a little bit more calm. But please remember the attitude. I always put the biggest emphasis always on the attitude of your own mind. So if you manage during that meditation, even if the mind doesn't get still and you have to think a lot, that's maybe how the mind is tonight. But if there is a lot of thought, you can encourage the mind. You don't have to think so much now, actually. This is not a problem solving half an hour. This is half an hour where you can rest if you want to. If you don't want to, okay, go ahead. I want you to have that kindness of not trying to give another command to your mind in the meditation, of just encouraging your mind that it, if it wants to, it can get quiet. See if you see some beauty when the mind gets more quiet. If it feels that there is a direction where you're even interested in going. And if you have a feeling you get more agitated, then look very closely. Why? Why is that happening? What is the thought process behind that now? What is that feeling? See if you can be kind enough in your own mind to, if something gets a little bit uncomfortable, to have a good look. Why is that happening now? Because in Buddhism, it's all about cause and effect. It just doesn't fall from the sky. There's always something behind it, and the clearer we see why something is happening, the easier it is to step away if the mind sees that is the direction of more suffering. So it's all about clarity, but in an approach where hopefully you all learn to treat yourself as the most important thing in the universe, because this is the way you will experience the whole universe around you. There is no fixed reality here. You live in your own little world, I live in my own little world. We only agree on a very few facts here, actually. Probably not even the exact color on the wall. So the more beautiful you make it in your own head, the beautiful thing is that the more beautiful it becomes in your surrounding as well. Because there is a power of that clarity in the mind. And I guess that's where a lot of people are attracted to Ajahn Brahm's teaching as well, because it's just usually a pleasant person to be around, pleasant person to listen to. So please be aware of the attitude you have in your meditation, and see how much we can encourage the mind of getting a little bit quiet, and see how quiet it gets, and have a good look how that feels, that you remember. All right, let's go then. So please sit in a way where you have the feeling that you can sit in that position and you're sure you're not going to harm your body. You know that if you sit for half an hour relatively still in that position, that the body is not going to end up in cramps or any stiffness. If you're in some pain and you have to move, that is not the problem. We give the body a chance that it can relax in that position, and we know it's comfortable. So check the distance of, if you sit in the chair, check the distance of your feet to the end of your chair, and if how far you want to spread them out, that you have some stability there, that you don't have to hold anything up, sort of that. Some people sit in the couch in the back there, that looks very comfortable. So on the chair we have to have a little bit a different position. So make sure from the very beginning that you get into your body, feel if your body has even a chance of relaxing in that position now. So please take a few really, really deep breaths in and out. Pump yourself up, pump up, pump up, pump up, and lift your shoulders up, and your chest is gonna lift up in your belly. And then you let the breath out, and then the shoulders will drop. You get a feeling of in what position your back needs to be that you can even take that deep breath. the experienced meditators, we all know that it's very, very difficult to get the body really comfortable. But after a while we figure out this is really as good as it gets. And sometimes when the mind relaxes a little bit more, there's even still falling things from your shoulders, and you saw that there was something that was holding on to something in your body still. So this body-mind connection tells us a lot where the tension is, where the holding on to is. And so we just do our very best in the beginning, make sure that the body has a chance of being comfortable, but we never expect it to be 100% comfortable. The body never is. So if you have the feeling that you can really breathe in and out properly, there's no restraining there, no restraints there, your trousers or whatever you're wearing is not infringing on your natural deep breathing, then we make another stop at the shoulders. I hope when you took the deep breath out that you dropped your shoulders with your out breath. And then when the shoulders drop, something happens to the neck as well. It comes into a position where it is effortless, or almost effortless. The head just rests, and we don't have to balance the head anymore, because it sits there, and the shoulders drop, the head drops into a certain position, and it just feels like I don't have to take care of that anymore. Now have a look at your mouth. Is your mouth relaxed? you have the feeling that the mouth is not relaxed, give a little smile, because we want to have that kind attitude during the meditation anyway. And a little smile actually from the body reminds the mind of that attitude of kindness during that meditation now. Then that kindness can stay even when the mouth relaxes completely. It's just this inner smile, this just interest. What is going on for this half an hour now? If I don't have to control anything, if I just watch what is happening. Watch if thoughts come up. It's not the time we have to figure anything out. It's just thoughts coming up, thoughts disappearing, feelings coming up, feelings disappearing, perceptions, smells, or hearing, or flicker behind your eyes. All that stuff goes on and on and on without me participating. It just happens. And if you have the feeling it would be nice to have a resting point in all these sensations, and you can always invite the mind to follow the breath in and out, because that is happening naturally. The body is just going to do that. So that movement is there the whole time, naturally. please don't try to fix the mind or the breath now. Just, this is your little anchor. So your mind doesn't really know where to go. You can always go back there. And it feels like somebody is watching what is going on the whole time. And exactly this watcher, this feeling of that center of control somewhere in your head or wherever. Try to encourage this watcher to watch kindly. Don't have to achieve anything, doesn't have to be still. Just how interesting to just look what's going on if we don't interfere. nothing to figure out now. The future is of no interest. The past is gone. What is happening right now? Few moments we have a chance to investigate, see nothing to figure out now. Future is of no interest. Past is gone. What is happening right now? going to ring the bell 3 times, and then we end the meditation for tonight. So anything came up during your meditation?
No.
Like to discuss? One thing came to mind with the Metta Sutta, because that's the first impression people get then when they come here, chanting something. So like I said, this is supposed to have a meaning, there's supposed to be some instruction in that. But an important point to reflect, I find, is that it's a translation. It's from Pali, it's an ancient Indian dialect, supposedly as close as it gets to the one that the Buddha spoke. And, well, it's definitely not as close as German and English, for example, or French. So the they have different roots. Why English, France, and German is more Latin and Greece culturally based by its roots. It has its own little roots. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. But it's, the further these roots are away from each other, then the more difficult it is to get an accurate translation or something. Yeah, something. We have to use more words, or the they have different genders, or they use the genders differently. And one thing that immediately stood out for me in the Metta Sutta again was, this is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness. The first sentence. The Buddha didn't speak in shoulds. For me, with a Christian background, it sounds immediately like a commandment again. You should not kill, you should not envy your neighbors, blah, 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 and whatnot. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness. No, it's not what should be done. This is what somebody does when he knows what the path of goodness is. There's no should there. Buddha wasn't interested in telling anybody what they should do. He didn't want to teach at all. He said, they're pretty much on a path. This is very, very hard to get any input in there, actually, that they even want to hear. So he had to be encouraged to teach, to try to put into words something that makes sense to people, where they maybe have a chance to walk a path that is alleviating suffering more and more, and supposed to go into a direction of more and more happiness. So there is no should there. What I just said, actually, this is what happens. The one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path and peace, he is going to be able and upright, but not because he wants to be a good person. or not because it's a commandment. If you're a meditator, you know, if you're not able and upright, your meditation is going to be crappy. And you're going to feel crappy. Yeah? If you're a deceitful person, you're going to attract deceitful people, because you don't attract anybody. Nobody wants anything to do with you. So you end up with the bottom of the drag. Yeah? So it's not cause and effect. It just says it is like that, and it is like that, and it is like that. And then please don't believe me, and please don't believe the Buddha. Just reflect on that yourself and see what happens to people who are deceitful. Look what happens to angry people, who are to unfriendly people. See if they're really happy. We always have this illusion, like the bad guys get away with everything. If you have to endure the mind state of a murderer or a thief or anybody, even if they have millions in their bank account, just being in their mindsets for a few minutes, and for me that would be hell. Absolute hell. There is no peace there. If they try to sit still and meditate, actually, they're going to suffer like mad. Any sort of stillness, anything removed from constant input of something through the five senses, is the biggest threat for them. So if you want peacefulness, if you want a happiness that comes from within and is not dependent on this external stimulation, through every minute of the day, then there needs to be a person who is upright and who has some gentleness, because that is the way you treat your mind. And if you treat your own mind like that, it just it also reflects on how you're, at least in your better moment, treat other people around you. It's not a stable thing. Sometimes we're calmer, sometimes we're more agitated, so obviously the less agitated and angry we are, the more happy we are inside of ourselves, the easier it is to deal with people around us. If we're agitated already and somebody gets on our nerves, or they get on our nerves a lot quicker when we're agitated already. Sometimes when we have this unusually happy experiences, if some of you can remember or have experiences, I remember when I was really in love. So for me it was a female, actually, I'm not gay, so just remembering the first few months, I cannot recall that there was anybody in my way, or anybody was not kind. That was just seeing through a different lens. The whole mind sees through a different lens. Some of you are maybe too old to remember.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe not. It's just sometimes we just have to make the effort to remember, actually, when we might, oh yeah, there was something. But it also obviously goes with that delusion. Delusion of the other person, and all is going to be like that all the time now. So it's impermanent, like everything is, but it's just astounding how the in what different states the mind can be, and I don't always want to be want to run around like an idiot in love or whatnot. I'm not even interested in that anymore, in that mind state. Yes, too ugly. That's right. No, it's much more actually, because I don't see that happiness for myself in that direction anymore. I appreciate that I know the perspective. That is, it's just an example. It's also, you can have that in your meditation or through in the monastery. Sometimes you have the opportunity to engage very little with other people. So sometimes you practice the right way, and you it can get incredibly wholesome in your own mind, and you see such a shift of perspective of what bothered you before is non-existent, actually. It's the same world, the same idiots you live with, actually, and it's the same people who live with 30 people or whatnot. You can imagine there are some guys who have a cleanliness standard, actually, which makes me vomit. Yeah? And then there's they have an attitude towards how they do a job or whatnot. It's just sad for me. Yeah? And then I have thoughts like, how can a you're supposed to be a monk or whatnot? How can you act like that? And then I see, wow, you're in a mind state, obviously, again, that is completely contradictory to what you have experienced before. Because when my own mind was wholesome enough, I didn't perceive this little things in the bathroom that were shitty and whatnot, and the washing room, actually, how it looked, actually, like a dung heap or whatnot, actually. And it's all these things seem to disappear, not because people were doing a better job. My mind was different, and that is what I'm interested in more now. Not somebody else who is going to lift me up and put me on cloud 79, actually, and I can see through the purple glasses again. That stuff is fleeting for me. Sort of, I don't even want to be dependent on another person like that anymore. The thing what I'm interested into is that happiness that is there without being dependent on the people around you, on the circumstances around you, because this is you have created a beautiful place in your own mind. And the beauty is not because you get what you want. It's exactly what Ajahn Brahm says. It's because you're not dependent on what is coming there from the outside. You don't want anything from that place. So the direction has to be clear in our mind. What do we really want? You might want something completely different. If you're young enough, you might want to fall in love, or we want to hold on to things as well if we live with them for a long time. But that is not really the problem. The problem is if we don't see what creates more suffering in our life, and what creates less suffering in our life. And the less our life is in accordance with reality, the more suffering we're going to experience. If we have too many delusions in our mind, if I have the delusion that is the bathroom is going to be looks in tomorrow the way I would like it to look, actually, then I'm the one who's going to suffer, nothing else. If I try to make everybody react exactly in the way that the bathroom is going to look the way tomorrow, I'm going to be busy, 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 and I have to correct people, and I'm going to become that guy that I really don't want to be. So seeing what can even be changed. I mean, I also don't want to be that guy who is, oh yeah, everything is all right, and you're all perfect, or whatever. I never say anything because I'm such a great Buddhist and I'm so wise, or whatever. I hate that stuff as well, you know. Often it's just chicken shit for me. It's not because they're so wise, they're just afraid. They're just scared of saying something. It's like, oh, they live to that strange ideal, actually, you know, that they have to be somebody that they're not now. Right? Now I'm the Buddhist, now I'm so holy, and aren't we all nice to each other? Bullshit, actually. So if I don't realize when I'm creating my own suffering, that's where my practice is gone. And sometimes I get upset and whatnot, and then I don't realize, but that's okay. And that's my kindness, that I can make all these mistakes. There is still desire there. There is still wanting and not wanting. As long as that stuff is all there, I'm going to get in conflict with people. I'm going to get in conflict with situations. It's going to be stuff that I like and stuff that I don't like. And it feels pleasant and unpleasant, and the reactions will come. But the amount of suffering that is often created after the fact, that is something as a practitioner we can be aware of. Somebody does something that we didn't like, and it was unpleasant maybe in that moment. But then how many times during the day we bring that up and make it unpleasant again and again and again and again, and it doesn't stop. And that's where the practice can start. And you see, wow, this train of thought, where is that really leading? Is that leading to more happiness for me, or more suffering? Or is there any action even possible that can make the situation more pleasant? And often it's just this somebody who's not mindful, who's not aware, but is just torturing himself or herself. And I hope your meditation brings up this tiny little bit of distance often. When we sit down and something is happening in the mind and the meditation, that we can see, oh yeah, this is lots of thought, and this is maybe not so pleasant. But we don't, this is not me immediately. It's not my thoughts. It's just like, oh, this is unskillful thoughts, nothing more. And if this little bit of distance come up, we see so much clearer, actually, oh no, this is just leading to more and more suffering. Yeah. If I go that way in my mind, it just causes more trouble. And I really, really don't do it for anybody else. I'm a super selfish person, actually. I don't give a damn about almost anybody. Really, it's terrible. Sometimes I think it's just, wow, you're supposed to give for this. I really don't care about those people. But it's all right. That's just the way I am. I hope I don't make people feel unappreciated or whatnot. But it's just, I also don't try to be somebody that I'm not. I'm not a super... I mean, if somebody needs help, I'm very willing to help. I'm not looking for problems. I'm not looking to be the goody two-shoe out there. But that's just me. If you get happiness helping other people and putting effort into that, that's great. Just please look after your own mind as well. Don't exert yourself. If you see that your own mind states are getting more unwholesome by what you're doing, if your energy level is just getting lower and lower, and you feel you're becoming more and more negative, then maybe you have to look what you're doing is too much. Maybe you have to look after yourself a little bit more, do something kind for yourself. So it completely depends on our character, how we have to approach the practice. We all have stand in a different spot here on the way to hopefully less suffering. And just being male, being female, being young, being old, having all these different life experiences, you have to deal with your own mind. Just it's where you figure hopefully out that that you don't just trust anybody because he's don't trust me or the Buddha or what is in the Bible or anything of that stuff. Actually, just if you hear something, it's just look very closely if that is even interesting to you. Don't become a meditator because it's so fashionable to be a meditator now. And this sort of, oh yeah, they're so wise, these Buddhists, and they're so kind. Nonsense. Just come to the monastery and see that it's a horrible place, actually. Completely normal people actually living together, but they make an effort. That's the only nice thing. They usually make an effort to keep things together. But it's nobody puts a rope on and becomes something different because he wears a rope. So don't trust monks and don't trust anything that you read in these little booklets or whatnot, because it might have been said by somebody. Always remember, if you don't speak two languages, be very careful. And luckily I at least have German and English, so I know what a translation can do to a story. How important words become, and this is what should be, not just this one word, this should raises the necks on my hair already. Just like, whoa, there's no should there. See clearly what leads to more suffering. And if you see that anger and unkindness leads to more suffering, you don't want to go there. The mind doesn't want to go there. If the mind knows anything better, if the mind sees a little bit of peace, that's where the mind wants to be. And not because you're Buddhist, because this is the nature of the mind. It's happy there. It's bright there. It's there are no problems there. There's no controlling there. There's no fear of the future because you don't give a damn about the future. It's just that what is there in that moment anyway. It's not that wish there that you have to control anything. And that just feels beautiful. That's the place where usually people describe as where they want to go, paradise. Everlasting happiness. Happy, 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 happy. Without the danger in the background that can be taken away from you again. That is what we create with absolute pleasure, with absolute bliss and happiness, paradise. So if that fear drops away, that it can be taken away from you because it's not conditioned on this controlling the outside. It's conditioned on this inside that is light in itself already. And for me that's a very interesting perspective. And even the direction is very beautiful. Even this few moments where the mind calms down a little bit and there's nothing to be done. It's like a small holiday. So, if that is attractive to you, then the Buddhist path and meditation might be attractive to you. And if you have the feeling your mind gets more in that direction, you maybe even walk the path. But if you think yourself to be a Buddhist and you just get more agitated and more miserable, then you're not on the path. That's not Buddhism. It's not what you should be, what you should have done. It's actually the mind seeing what is leading to more suffering and it drops. It's a clarity of mind. It's just this incredible stupidity that the mind sometimes cannot see what it's doing to itself. These thoughts that are just leading to from one hell realm to the next hell realm. And nobody there to say, look, is that true what you're saying there? Is there any reality to it? Yeah. And I hope through your meditation this clarity becomes stronger and stronger. Yeah? Not that you become this super, super nice people, because we're going to have conflicts as human beings. And Even my fellow monks are sometimes not appreciated here, I heard, actually, you know. So the critical mind, actually, in the super nice groups is not that it just evaporates like that, you know, and everything is so nice and it's just, oh yeah. It's sort of, I like what he says, I don't like what he says. Huh? This guy is, oh yeah, he has the right attitude, he has the wrong attitude. That's we cannot do anything else but judge. Huh? Being a human being is judging all the time. We can check a little bit our own intent, that we be careful that we don't harm our own mind with it. We don't hold on to things. It's just like we can speak our mind, and that's okay. And I appreciate that, if it comes from a place where something can be changed. Nice. Some people need to be told things, but not just for the sake of anger or whatnot, for the sake of nastiness, obviously. What is this? Who's a good Christian? This Thomas from Aquin. God grant me the wisdom to change what can be changed. Come on, all you alcoholics here. The 10-step program, but it's always the thing they say at the end. Well, obviously we don't say God, you know, but the thing is pretty good. Huh? God grant me the wisdom to change what can be changed and accept the things that cannot be changed and the wisdom to know the difference, something like that. Huh? And that is often the hardest thing, you know. Changing the things that even knowing if it's, do we have to change that, huh? Or do we let that go? But with a little bit of kindness to ourselves, we see that causes more aggravation in our mind. The whole thing always gonna lead to more peacefulness in our own minds. So may we have the clarity to see what is causing more suffering and what is causing less suffering in our present and our future. Okay. Any questions? Oh, yeah?
How would you deal with a person who creates conflict, just move away from that person?
If you have the chance, definitely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You can't, what would you do? But for me, the most important thing is be able to let go as good as you can every day. Mm-hmm. Don't I have to react to that person now in a certain way? Huh? I don't want to be a doormat anymore. Blah, 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 blah. Next time a guy approaches me, I'm going to do this and this and that. Just putting my mind in that cage and having to wear that cage every day. Maybe sometimes you have to build up that sort of attitude. Then if you have a better mind state, actually, you have to build up that negative attitude. Because you think you have to deal with that person in a way that you determined before that you have to deal with that person, if you know what I mean.
No, I'm not talking about domestic violence here. I'm saying.
No, not domestic violence. I'm talking about fellow monastics.
I really appreciate that you started off by saying the snake analogy. Yeah. Give yourself permission to be kind to yourself, and if you're inherently kind to yourself, then you have the ability to give that to the aggressor, to say, you can stop that, because I'm not going to take your aggression, your put downs. I have a very difficult line manager. And so today I gave myself permission to say it's time for you to stop. and I'm not going to take this anymore. And the power that I feel, the wholesomeness that I feel within myself is extraordinary. And for you to come out with that tonight, I thought, how did you know?
lucky coincidence. I cannot read mine. So.
That's what I feel here as well. Is that you give yourself permission to say, stop, this is enough.
Yeah.
I am worthy of more. You can walk away from all those.
Yeah, and it's. And being assertive, it can be right in the right circumstances. Some people you have to look in the eye and say, stop. They're not sensitive people or whatnot. They're bullies, actually. And you have to make aware, stop. And maybe you have to shout and do I don't know what.
No, it was quite, and it took me a year. Today,
yeah. Well, at the workplace, there's always some repercussions and whatnot, so people try to behave. In the monastery, nothing's going to happen. So basically, people can behave as complete bullies, actually. And you have to look after yourself. Right? And I try to be very aware if that is that coming from kindness and wisdom now, or if that is coming from fear as well, you know? Because this reaction out of fear or some weird ideal how you're supposed to be, so I'm supposed to be nice now, but there's no wisdom there. People then they come to the monastery and they feed the parrots and the birds like mad there. They think they're kind, but there's no wisdom. The birds are shitting all over the place, they're getting more and more aggressive and naughty, actually. They come onto the table, actually, and pick the food from the tables when people are eating there, and it just gets more and more chaotic. So that misplaced kindness, oh, I'm kind to animals, no. You just want to be that kind person who thinks who's doing something nice. You don't know what it does to the birds. They look actually pretty scruffy. I'm not actually sure if that food is so good for the parrots, actually, that people feed them. So this misplaced notion of what is the right thing to do, this is... But just to come one time back to your question, how to react? Be assertive or be whatever you feel is necessary in that situation. But then let go of it again. Give that guy another chance the next day. Even if it's the same asshole the next day, it doesn't matter. You don't keep up that mind state of defensiveness the whole time, because that's going to be your suffering. You carry around with you, and you see that even takes effort after a while. If you're in a good mood, actually you don't dare to be in a good mood next to that guy anymore, because you need to be in this prepared mind state for that person, and that is going to be your suffering. And I'm not willing to suffer for anybody else. As good as I can, I try to stay out of that. So I can say no, actually, but I'm not going to take that back to my heart. And then, oh, what am I going to do? That is done. And maybe I reacted badly, but I forgive myself. I see if I can come up with something that even do a better job next time, but then I let it go. That is just my advice I can give to deal with difficult situations. And if you have the chance, get away from people like that. I don't need to convert anybody and be the nice guy and be the good example or whatnot. If they're unwholesome people and I have the chance to stay away, I'm going to stay away. Does that make any sense?
Sometimes a person is conflicted because of a mental issue. So, sometimes
you
have to be.
You still have to look after yourself. Mm-hmm. If somebody has a mental issue, they're the most exhausting people in the world, often. And they're like little children from their attitude of how important they are. So you have to be even more careful, to be very, very conservative with your energy. that you're willing to spend. They can suck you dry like a vampire. Yeah. Mentally disturbed people, depressed people, it's just like they have no... that is what delusion is. It's not because they're nasty people, but they're so deluded, they suck and suck and suck, they don't even see how much they suck. And so, good for you or shitty for you, basically, but I still have to look after my own mind. And you're not doing anybody else a favor if you don't look after your own mind. You see, it's just going to get more miserable for you and the other person. So that doesn't make any sense at all. It's very difficult, I know. For mental sicknesses are the most difficult thing to deal with. But you have to deal with them, I guess, the best way you can. And if you have the chance to get away and regroup, don't let anybody put guilt on your shoulders or whatnot for that stuff. You look after your own mind. If your mind gets down, it's not going to help anybody. And if people rely so much on you, put so much on your shoulders, only because they think they can do that, that doesn't mean that's the right thing, or you have to have anything to do with it. Just, yeah. Please don't try not to feel guilty about stuff like that. Difficult situation. All right. It's late already. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Rajan.